You're listening to Empathica Radio, home to unsigned metal, hardcore, and punk artists. The true underground.
Hail to the king, baby.
All right, welcome back to Empathica Radio. We are needing more bands to play for the new year. Don't touch that, Travis. Just stop.
Sorry.
We need some bands for 2018. We got some already lined up, but we need more unsigned independent bands. Did I just say that weird?
More unsigned independent bands?
No, it sounded like I said independent weird, but... I don't know. Whatever. Send your band over to empathicradio@gmail.com and we'll get you on the show. We offer free promotion. That's just what we do. Yeah, like I said, if you're listening, your band, send your stuff so we can get you on the air. So, Brendan.
Yes.
You missed out on an excellent event
last
weekend. It was last weekend, right? I'm so fucked up on times right now.
Was it last weekend?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm still hungover.
So we were at the Winter Wolf benefit show at Foo Bar in St. Louis, and it was pretty sure the majority of the bands there were black metal. I think there may have been a couple death metal. Yeah, it was fucking awesome. We got to bring our shit out there, and we interviewed three bands. We wish we would have interviewed more. But that was a very crazy thing that we did. It wasn't crazy. We were just super unprepared because we only had 2 weeks to prepare for it. But it was a learning experience for sure, you know. But everybody we talked to was super cool. That was awesome. Nobody was.
Yeah, everybody was super.
Yeah, I was like scared nice. That people were gonna be dicks. That's just my fear with any time I talk to somebody. Yeah,
I don't know why, but it is.
Right, but no, everybody was super cool. So we're going to be playing you some of the we're going to play you the interviews we did, and then after the band we interview, we're going to I'll play a song by them. So the audio isn't the best.
Yeah, it's a little loud.
It's in a noisy fucking room where we were at a club.
It was really loud.
But so just bear with us with it. God damn, how many bands played that night? There was a lot because they were using both rooms.
Because there's bands we didn't even get to talk to. Here's the problem is we were talking to people and recording while other bands were playing in the other side.
Right, in the other room.
Of this place. And so we didn't get to hear everyone.
Right.
Which sucked.
Because one of them I even asked on the interview. I was like, what time do you guys go on? Like, we already played. I'm like, fuck. I feel like such an asshole. Yeah. I was just like, mother.
Well, I'm sure you guys were good.
Yeah. I was like, fuck. No, and I wanted to see him too, but it was just.
I know. You couldn't.
You couldn't. It was impossible. Yeah. But fuck it. It was cool. Like I said, everybody was cool. I didn't get as drunk as I thought I was going to get, luckily.
It's probably good.
No, yeah, it was excellent because I thought I was going to be so nervous I was going to get. I thought it was going to be like Brendan wasted to where you were going to have to like carry me out of there.
Yeah.
You were going to have to just do everything by yourself. I was just going
to
be slumped over.
Just trying to fight like band members.
Yeah, I was just going to fight everybody that tried to sit down with us. Just start trying to swing, but it's so slow. They're just like, what are you doing? And just like knock me over.
You just fall over.
Maybe it's a better thing I didn't get.
Oh, yeah, Brendan, you would have been. When at one point we're.
How long? We were there for a good what? 8 hours?
Yeah, we got there four. Well, we got there four. We left at, it was probably like 12:30 before we got out of there.
Yeah.
After we unloaded or loaded back up.
So 8 hours drinking and no food.
Yeah, no food. We went to Denny's afterwards.
Yeah.
Goddamn. Yeah, I left Denny's. We left Denny's. It was like 1:30.
Oh, yeah.
I still had to drive back to fucking the Illinois side.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, my God, I'm not making it home. And it wasn't because I was drunk. Cause I was so fucking tired.
Yeah.
Because I got up early that morning. I woke up at...
I mean, I guess you should have spent the night.
I got up at 5:30 Saturday morning.
For what?
I got to take a piss, and then I laid in bed, and I started thinking about having to do that show. And I was like, oh, no. I was wide awake, nervous. I was like, well, fuck, I'm not going back to sleep. So I just got up and went to the fucking gym. Which, I got to tell you this real quick, guys, before we go into the interviews.
Okay.
And I'm only going to say this because I said the gym, and I want to tell you guys about this.
Oh,
what happened to me. Well, not happened to me this morning. So... I go
You were flexing in the mirror.
I was flexing so hard in the mirror. No. So I get to the gym this morning. The way my gym is just a little private. Not a private. It's just a little shithole. when you go back to the guy's locker room, it's a hallway. As you're going down the hallway, there's a door on your right, and that's the shower. It's not like a business. It's a shower room.
Yeah.
One shower, one person at a time. I mean, I guess you can go do two at a time.
I already don't want to.
No, you want to hear this. No.
Let's play some music. We're in
So, but the only thing in there, it's just a room with a shower in it, door. Once you pass that up, then you have to make a left, and then there's the locker room, and then the bathroom's another separate room. The guy's is real weird. So I'm walking by, and as I'm walking up to the shower, the door is slightly open. Like, I don't know. Like, you could, there's like a 6-inch gap. And the lights aren't on, but the shower's fucking running. And I'm like walking by, and there's somebody in there taking a shower in the fucking dark, with the door open.
Did you go in?
Yeah, I went in there to see what was going on. Fuck no, I didn't go in there. Hey, what the fuck's going on in here? No, I just went in. I dropped my bag off, and I like walked back through, like. I didn't even want to look. I was afraid the guy had the curtain open, too. And we'd be just standing there watching people walk by. But I was just like, what the fuck's going on? Who takes a shower in the dark? I mean, that's weird. That's some weird shit.
Yeah. Did you ever see someone leave?
Yeah, or? Someone ended up coming out eventually.
Yeah? You saw the perpetrator?
Yeah, I saw the perpetrator. He came out.
He was creepy.
I didn't get a good look at him. He just came.
He looked really relaxed.
he looked like he was probably in his late 50s, but he was just like, I caught a glimpse of him going through. Mm-hmm. I was just like, dude, what the fuck?
I think you should walk in next time.
Walk in, throw the curtain. But, hey, why are the fucking lights off in here?
It's part of the game.
It's part of the game. You win. This is fucking weird. It was just like, because I actually like set, there's a chair I always set up right by the dumbbells, and I throw my clipboard on there and keep my phone sitting there and all that. So I'd like put that into place before I walked back. I could hear the shower running, but I could see that the door is cracked open in the dark. And I'm like, is that really going on? So I'm walking back there. I'm like, the shower's so shitty. It's like the plastic.
I was just trying to set the mood.
The plastic, I don't know, slip in there. So when you're in there, it's just like, you can hear when you're telling, you know,
right,
just fucking creaks the entire time. So I could hear that going on. And I'm like, there's some motherfucker in the dark taking a shower with the door open.
At least you didn't see like 4 or 5 guys walk out.
Oh, shit.
They're playing Who's in My Mouth.
Oh, come on. We need one more. We need one more contendant. Well, I guess I'm lucky when I walk by, he didn't just like grab me and pull me in there. I didn't look because I was afraid the curtain was going to be open too, and he was just going to be staring at the door, rubbing himself down. I didn't want to fucking be scarred for life, so I just looked straight ahead and got back. But I had to walk back by there to get back to the gym, so I was almost just went out the fire exit and went home. I didn't know what else.
You've been looking for a new gym now.
Oh, yeah. I got to get out of there. Well, normally I go in there, it's 4:30 in the morning during the week, and there's nobody in there. But I've been going on Saturday or Sunday, depending on which day I feel like getting up and doing that. And I go a little later. Like, I think I was there at 7:30. So, I mean, there's people in there, but not that many.
Yeah.
It was still just like, what the fuck is going on here? Why is there always going to be some weirdos? I mean,
that's
if you want to take a shower in the dark, you want to take a shower in the dark, be my guest. But shut the fucking door and lock it. Because
maybe he just wanted that little bit of light.
That's what he likes?
Yeah, just had a nice ambiance.
Oh,
perfect
God.
Light.
Well, it was creepy.
Tell him next time to bring candles and shut the
door. I should have just shut the door on him so he's trapped in the dark.
Yeah,
think
that
about
been
that.
Good.
Just walk by him and boom, just shut him. That would have been awesome.
Fuck. We should do that next time for sure.
All right, so for this first interview, Emaciation, we talked to their guitar player first, and then later on in the night we talked to the main dude, Lord Kirby Ray, and he knew his shit. And, I mean, they were both cool guys. It was awesome talking to both of them. But the interview is going to be, you're going to hear one guy, and then it's going to jump to the other guy, just so the listeners know. It was fucked up. We didn't know what we were doing, all right? So don't yell at us. No, but that's what you're going to hear now, and then we're going to play a song by them as soon as the interview ends. So here is the first interview.
All right,
man, introduce yourself.
Okay, my name is Rio Petta, and I'm the lead guitarist of Emaciation.
Awesome. Where are you guys from?
We are from Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Oh, okay,
kinda
cool.
Like the little down there in the boot heel, you know?
Yes, sir. I know exactly where that's at.
Yeah. Small town, but good culture.
Cool. You guys have any releases out? Any EPs?
Yes. CDs? Yes. Right now, we have a record called Earth Odyssey. I'm not playing on it personally, but it's definitely a good representation of the sound of the band.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How long has the band been together?
Well, believe it or not, Emaciation has been around since the 80s. I've only been with the group for about a year now. I'm not totally positive on the exact inception date, but we've definitely been around for a while. So.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was really an honor to come on board after all that time and be so well received, you know.
Right on.
So the band's older than you?
What's that?
So the band's older than you?
Yeah. Yes, very much so.
That's pretty cool.
No, yeah. That's cool. Shit.
I mean, it's a good opportunity for me because, you know, I mean, whenever you're a little guy, you know, you're always looking for any opportunity as a young musician to, you know, find some people to jam with. And in this situation, it's kind of like I have some people, older people to mentor me, to, you know, kind of teach me some of the kind of older styles, you know, because it's always interested me and it helps influence my, you know, kind of more modern pursuits. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So how often do you guys get out and play?
You know, we're fairly picky with the gigs that we do. Kirby, the leader of the band, vocals and rhythm guitar, he's really the one that sets it up for us.
Cool.
He has the most connections, you know, been in the scene the longest. I would say, play a gig about, on average, every 2 months.
Oh, cool. That's not bad.
Probably be a fair estimate.
Yeah.
And that's fine for me because I'm kind of in college right now and I'm working on a Bachelor of Arts with an emphasis on classical guitar.
Right.
So it's not such a time eater, you know, but at the same time it still gives me the experience that I really need.
Right. Oh, yeah. I know back when I was in a band, we would play as much as possible, so I know how many shit shows you actually fucking play when you do that.
Right,
so
right.
To do that, to be picky, there's nothing wrong with that. Especially,
right.
I'm sure they know because they've, like you said, they've been around since the 80s, so sounds like they know what the fuck they're doing.
For sure, yeah.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, I suppose his reasoning is that it helps the reputation of the band to kind of pick the cream of the crop. And I think I would be a little more desperate personally.
Right.
You know, I mean.
Yeah, no, but it makes sense because if you play every other week, people are going to get bored and not want to come out and watch because they see you
all the time.
So
you'll get bored too.
Right.
Like, that's enough of this shit.
No, that's cool, man. What time do you guys go on tonight?
I think it's around 7:30.
Cool. Are you on this side? Are you on the lounge side, or are you on the other side?
From what I heard, I think we're on this side. What side is this?
The lounge.
The lounge.
I think we're on the lounge.
And,
I don't know.
And I think we're the third band in, but I'm not 100% prepped. I'm kind of along for the ride here.
Yeah,
honestly.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're kind of the same way. We got thrown into this 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
So we're like, we just doing this by the seat of our pants.
Yeah.
But, we'd love to get you guys on the show and play your music and shit. That's awesome, man.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Thanks. You want to promote any websites or anything?
You know, we have a Facebook page that you can visit. Just search up Emaciation. And you can join that, and we post all of our updates about upcoming shows on there. And
awesome.
Whenever we're having practices, sometimes we'll put up photos. So
cool, man.
It's probably a good medium to stay up to date with our group.
Awesome. Perfect, man. Thanks for sitting down with us. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, man.
Good talking to you.
All right, man. Go ahead and introduce yourself, man.
My name's Kirby Ray. I'm the program director of Real Rock 99.3 in Cape Girardeau, and I'm proud to be on with Emphatica Radio today. Thanks for having me on with you guys to talk about Winter Wolves, the benefit for the Endangered Wolf Center.
No problem, man. Thanks for sitting down with us.
Of course.
Thank you.
Man, you guys did a killer set out there, dude.
Man, thank you so much.
That was awesome.
I'm glad you all enjoyed it. Well, the band's called Emaciation, and we've been around for 21 years. We've done 4 of these benefit shows, and we're proud to work with these guys. And if you haven't been to the Endangered Wolf Center in Eureka, it's really amazing. It really is. It was started in 1971, and I mean, it's just a really cool place. Of course, they want to release these wolves back into the wild, so they keep them wild.
Right.
And you heard what they were talking about a little bit earlier with releasing some of these wolves, bringing some in, where some of the wolves, there are only 40 left on Earth, and they've got some there, and they're, you know, raising more, and I think it's a very cool thing to help them out.
Absolutely. Man, 21 years, you said?
That's right.
God damn. So you know what's going on then.
Well, luckily, you know, the key to it for us is we do it to have fun.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we've never once thought about what money we're going to make. We just want to come play an event that has people at it. So this is the one that has a good cause, and we also get to play in front of people. So
that's
the best thing, man. It really
is.
Get in front of people who you know are good people because they support a good cause.
Right.
And there's actually a few people watching your band, so that's great.
Yeah, that's perfect.
So when did you guys get started?
Been doing this for about a little over a year. We actually have another host, but he's working. He works for UPS, so it's the craziest time of year for him.
Uh-huh.
So he couldn't make it. But me and him have been in and out of bands together years ago, in and out of death metal bands and shit. So we started this just to get together. And we were always getting together anyways and, like, talking metal and this and that. And I was like, hey, why don't we start a podcast? And he's a super quiet guy.
Right.
He's like, no, I don't want to fucking do that. I'm like, you'll be fine. So I pretty much forced him into it. And then we had a Travis here about 3 months ago or so.
Yeah, to help.
Yeah, I forced him into it. So then we were, talking to a guy earlier, doing this and playing, like, unsigned and independent bands, metal bands, just reminds me of when I was back in high school in the 90s, you know, the nostalgic feeling of the super underground.
Right.
You know, and now I feel like I'm back into it because I'm coming across bands that there's no other way I would come across them other than doing this.
Right.
And there's plenty of bands I've added to my phone that I listen to on a regular basis. So it's a win-win. I'm helping out other bands to get a bigger audience, and I get to hear new music. So
that's so cool, man. You know, it reminds me of in the 80s, there was like a tape trading scene in the back of magazines before the internet.
Right.
And even back before cable television in the 70s, you'd have guys that would submit an ad to a magazine and say, you know, if you're willing to send me some tapes, I'll send you some tapes and stuff. And people were tape traders all around the globe.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And, you know, I really liked that time. I really did. Because people, it seemed like they worked harder to do what they cared about. And it really made a huge impact on me and our band. I started playing in the 70s when I was a kid. So, you know, for our band, we try to stick to those old school concepts of still making CDs, still giving them out to people, meeting the bands that we play with, do show trades, and actually making flyers that you hang up in front of a place. Because, you know, sometimes a digital download, it's like, where do you even begin with your digital downloads on your phone? Like, you got every song in the world on your phone, or I actually have some CDs in my car.
Yes.
You know, that I can pick up and look at the artwork, get into it, look at the song titles, read the liner notes. So we believe that the old school concept works better, you know, so stick with that. We really do. Making a real product, you know.
Yeah,
it's more meaningful, you know what I mean? And you remember it more.
Yes, that's one thing I definitely miss is the artwork and holding it in my hand and flipping through it.
And reading lyrics, I used to love doing that.
Me too. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Me too. Well, I bought records in the 70s because of the artwork. And you know, something else back then, and the song titles also, and maybe the logo. But everything at that time was hand-drawn. The band logo, the artwork.
Yeah.
It was a real piece of art that someone created, not a font on your computer of a word pad or whatever.
Yep.
And I understand it's easy to use that stuff, but at a glance, people look at your font that's something that's in their WordPress or WordPress.
Oh, I've got that in my Word document, too.
It's like, I would rather see something hand-drawn, you know? It almost looks like your stuff's hand-drawn that you got on your logo with your stuff here.
It actually is.
Yeah, that makes a big difference. Yep. It really does. Yep. That you care about that. So thank you for that.
No, that's awesome. And like you said with the records, I will buy records now over the CDs, like a band I like coming out. Because the big thing now for metal bands is they do the bundle packages.
Right.
And I'm right there for the record. Where's the LP? I want the actual vinyl.
Totally.
You know, so that's what I shoot for now over the CD, just because everything is digital.
Right.
But I've got a record player and all that, so screw it. I'm going for the vinyl now. So now I get all that. And I love it.
I'm right there with you. The guys at my local record store in Cape called me on Black Friday and said, we've got this Creator picture disc that came out, and we know that you're a Creator fan, you know, so
nice.
Come
nice.
On down and pick it up. We're holding it for you. So the guy knew I'm going to come right over there and get it. I got to have that. And they got one copy, and I knew about it a few days before, so when he called and left me a message, I thought, I bet he's got the Creator picture disc, and I'm excited about it, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, think back to, I don't know how old you guys are, but... You know, people would line up at record stores to get a new copy of Power Slave by Iron Maiden or, when For Those About to Rock came out from AC/DC, people are lined up to get it, you know. It's like and people used to camp out for tickets, you know, all night to get the concerts so they can get their ticket for the front, you know. And I kind of prefer that, you know, I really do.
Right.
And I do like having access to everything. I've seen a lot of videos of bands that, you know, like Jethro Tull live in 69 or something like that, like... You're not going to see that stuff on regular television.
Right.
And I like having access to it. But I believe that if you look at it and just maybe still think about buying the stuff, you know, okay,
right.
If I like that, maybe I can buy the whole DVD of that. Or, you know, I could actually go back and buy the album that song was on instead of just continuing to download stuff.
Correct.
I mean, something somebody told to me one time was... Okay, maybe you meet Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones and you hold up your phone and say, can you sign my download? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Right. I never looked at it that way. That's absolutely
sign
right.
My download, you know?
Yeah.
Sign my illegal download. Would you do that for me?
Right.
Yeah, well, I don't think they will.
No.
Probably not. I wouldn't. I mean, you're glad they're a fan. And truthfully, you know, when you are starting out and you're young, you're giving your stuff out for free so people hear it. So there is that. But I still think that you should do that, where you make a box of 100 CDs, your band pays for it, you give them out to people, instead of saying, you know, just go download our stuff for free, just rip it off of one of these sites. You know, I've never gone to one of those websites where people are stealing movies and music. I just don't think it's legit, you know. So if you did use YouTube and all of these things to say, okay, I'm going to sample it, and then I'm going to go buy it if I like it.
Correct.
Maybe that's the correct way to do it.
You know, that's the way I do it.
That's good.
Because, I mean, I remember back when I was in high school, you just go to the record store, and you'd be like, oh, I don't know who this is. I buy it, and I get home, like, God damn it, this is garbage.
Yeah.
You know, but today, I can sample, like, oh, I really like this.
Sure.
I buy it. If I don't, like, it's not for me.
Right.
You know, and that's fine. You know.
Yeah, you tried it. You keep trying new stuff. I think that's great.
Absolutely.
Well, what bands have you guys liked tonight?
So far, we haven't come across a bad one yet. I've liked everybody.
Me too. Everybody's been good.
We've missed a couple on the other side because we're over here recording, so that's unfortunate. But so far, I mean, you guys were fucking killer.
Thank you, man.
That last band I played was fucking killer. So, I mean, so far, I can't imagine there's been a bad band yet.
It's so cool that you guys are doing this, man. I get excited when people are fired up about music and getting the word out about music. So this is great. I'm really honored that you let me come over here and talk to you guys.
Well, thank you, man. Yeah.
My
appreciate
pleasure.
You sitting down with us, man.
It's been great, and I hope you'll come to the next one.
Oh, I hope. We definitely will. Definitely.
Well, I heard a rumor that it might be June or July here.
Okay. That's fine with me.
Yeah. So the word on the street is
they could
be doing this July 2018, another one. It would be the fifth Winter Wolves, although it's not going to be winter. It'd just be an Endangered Wolf Center benefit.
Fuck it. That's good. It's all good, man.
And obviously, if you haven't been to the Endangered Wolf Center, go there and enjoy it, because it is so cool. As a matter of fact, they have a deal where you can go out there and camp, and the wolves howl all night, and you hear the wolves howling all night.
Oh, wow.
And you're
going to miss
it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I wanted to go to that. I haven't been to that yet, but I want to go do that this year, or maybe next year.
That's awesome, man.
So take the time to go up there. You guys will have a blast.
Awesome, man. We appreciate you sitting down with us.
Thank you so much for talking, man. I can't wait to pull up your Emphatica radio and take a listen, man.
All right. Thank you, sir.
No problem at all.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
That was In Blood We Trust by the band Emaciation. They are out of Cape Girardeau, Missouri. You can find them at emaciation.net.
And they were super cool guys.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Oh, yeah. And sitting there, I didn't do my homework beforehand, which I should have.
I told you.
But it was a lot of bands to deal with. And like I said, it was my first time doing this. So I was just, I thought I was prepared. I obviously wasn't. But I was like looking at their Facebook page, and he has listed like all the festivals they've done. Holy shit. I mean, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it. Is it Wacken Open Air?
Yeah,
Wacken. Is that how you would pronounce it? You know, they've done that, and I've always wanted to go to it. Oh, yeah. They've been around for like 20 years, I think he said. Was that? Do you remember? I mean, I know we just played the interview.
I think, I think it was more than that. Yeah, he said it.
It was, I mean, they were.
It was longer than that.
Yeah, that dude, he was super awesome, super nice guy.
Yeah.
Now, these next guys were super cool, too. Grand Inquisitor, am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Just to make sure. They were. That was the actual first band we got to watch, I think.
Did they go in first?
Well, I mean, I don't know if they were first, but that's the first band I think we were able to walk away and go watch on the other side. And they were killer, and they were super cool dudes. They were the one with the dog that ran in whenever.
This had a dog there just running around. The place.
He like ran in there. I don't think he meant for it to do that, but he like ran into the building, ran right by us, and went right in that back room like.
He knew where he was going.
The people back there were like, what the fuck? His dog's running back there. It was a super nice dog, but it was just funny. Like, he knew where he was going. I mean, maybe he'd been in there before. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it was funny. Yeah, so we're going to play that interview, and then we're going to have a song right after that. So here we go. All right, introduce yourself, guys.
Well, I'm Graham Collins, and I play guitar and sing in Grand Inquisitor.
I'm Marcus Newstead. I play the other guitar.
Awesome.
Grand Inquisitor.
So how long have you guys been a band?
I guess we've been going through various lineups for about 4 or 5, maybe 6 years now. I don't know.
6 years?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. You guys got any releases out?
We have several releases on Bandcamp. Probably 3 or 4 EPs on Bandcamp, and we have another one in the bag that we're
kind of
waiting on releasing.
Waiting?
Yeah. I just joined the band in April.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to write some more stuff, and we're going to either put out a full length here in the near future or release this. The stuff that we have in the can already, we got about 30 minutes of music in the can.
Right.
A lot of it's covers, but we got about 22 minutes of original music.
Oh, cool.
And we're deciding what we're going to do with it. But it was written before he joined the band, because Marcus joined the band
April.
Maybe April? 6 months ago.
Okay.
So... the whole dynamic of everything has changed, and the stuff that we just played was off of the new stuff that we haven't released yet.
Okay.
But the stuff that we're coming up with now has a completely different flavor to it, so we might just release this stuff and then write a whole new album.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
We got a little shy over 30 minutes for stuff that I've been a part of, like having the writing, being part of the writing.
Right.
So I think we might do, we're thinking about maybe a 30-minute long, maybe full length, a short full length, and then doing a tour in February.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you guys are from here in St. Louis, right?
South
Side.
Sure.
Right. Okay, cool.
Me and Graham live on the South Side. Jerry and Spencer are out in the outer boroughs.
Outer boroughs.
Yeah. For sure.
Right. Yeah. I'm just
North
across
County
the river.
And beyond. Oh, yeah. I'm from Illinois myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where are you at in Illinois?
I was raised up in Belleville and Edwardsville.
So was I. I live in O'Fallon right now.
Guys, these are
Emaciation.
Emaciation.
Been a band since like 1996. They've been a band for 21 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so has the last band, Animated Dead. They've been around.
Wow.
Because I know the band I was in with Chris Denton from Ashes and Iron and Joe from Animated Dead, we played with Animated Dead when they had a different bass player.
Yeah.
You know, because Joe was playing with us. And that was at least, you know, probably 95.
Yeah, oh, really?
94, 95, right, something like that.
I was going to say, I remember them from when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Right.
More focus now.
All right, we're back on.
Cool.
So how long have you guys been a band?
Well, Grand Inquisitor has been a band, like Graham said, for a while, like I think 2012 or 2011, maybe even 2010.
Okay.
I just joined the band this year, but I've known Graham for a while. And like I said, I kind of like, they've never been a four-piece before. It's always been a three-piece.
Really?
Yeah. And I had this kind of solo project that I was working on. And I've known the guys for a while. Spencer played drums, filled in for drums for my other band on tour.
Okay, cool.
A couple of times now. I've been friends with all the guys. Jerry I've known for a while, too. And I joined up with him because I was trying to write this like kind of solo album with a backing band. And I was like, Grand Inquisitor. Perfect, kind of like the attitude that I wanted for what I want to do for my background shit.
Cool.
And then we were at practice one day because I was hanging out with them and going to their practices to kind of like, okay, well, we'll do my shit, then I'll like take a break, and then you guys do a set, and then we'll take a break.
Right.
Learn some more songs. That happened once. And then the second time I showed up to their practice space, I was like, can I just be the second guitar player in your band? I mean, my other band brought them on tour 3 years, three years ago.
Okay.
We went to the West Coast via Texas and the Southwest.
Oh, okay, cool.
And Grand Inquisitor was the band we brought with us, but I've known them, like I said, for a while.
Right.
And then I like was familiar with the material, big fan, you know, and just kind of worked out. It's like, I'm already over here. I've already designated a day to be with you guys to do this project. Like, I work during the day, and then after I get off work that day,
right,
you know, go to do you guys' stuff, because I'm in two other bands, too.
Oh, geez.
This is the third night of the row. Third night of the week in a row, I work, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday during the day. Pop over to practice on those nights consecutively to the three different bands, Tuesday and Thursday. That's like, I got the day off, you know, why not? You know, my fiance is already at work that night too, so there's like, we're already kind of a part of, kind of left on my own devices anyways. Sort of had the time, wanted to kind of get a different feel too for guitar, and I joined up with them. And so the second time I showed up to their practice space, fuck, I was like, man, let me just learn your guys' set, and I'll just back you guys up whenever you got a show.
Right.
Fuck it, I'll make it work. I'll work. I'll do whatever, you know. So I've been in the band since the beginning, like April of this year. I learned they had about an 18-minute long kind of song, three songs, three movement kind of big long song.
Right.
And I learned that, and then Graham had a, there he goes, here he comes.
There he comes, there he
comes,
is.
GC. So yeah, they had this big long ass song that they already had played, and a band I was in played a show with them, and it was June when I joined you guys, and we recorded like 2 or 3 weeks later.
Yeah, right. Okay.
It's like June 3rd or maybe, yeah. Anyway, played this show with Grand Inquisitor. We learned, I learned this like long ass song, and then he had another idea to learn that. And I was like, dude, if you guys are cool with it, let me, you know, learn this shit, and if I can play it, I'll be in the band with y'all, you know? And fucking Graham was gracious enough to sit with me and teach me the shit part by part.
Dude, it took him a month, and he had enough for a set.
Yeah, I played a show I was like 26 or 27 days after I joined the band. I joined the band June 3rd. We recorded June 30th.
Oh, fuck.
And then I played a show. Our first show was, I think, August. No, it was June 28th. It was the day after my birthday. Today is the day.
We played with today is the day.
Oh, awesome. That's fucking awesome.
No, that was in September.
I don't know.
Yeah, the timeline is fuzzy, man. Like I said, I'm in three bands. You know, everybody in the band works. We're all full-time work. We all have mega overtime full-time jobs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so, like, but I've been a part of the band for a while now. And I wanted to join the band because I've been, like I said, been a fan for a long time, and it's kind of cool to add parts to stuff that's already been written. And then when Graham and then had it already kind of conceptualized that first kind of long song, it was
right.
Easy to kind of, not easy, but I feel we got a ground floor kind of era of the band that I'm a part of.
Right, yeah.
It's kind of like a new, same but new, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've learned a couple of old tunes, and we got a couple of covers that we do, BB Key song, Captain Beyond song, and
kind of see, here's the thing, that we're going to move beyond all that because we're writing now, and
it's a whole other thing.
Yeah, it's going to become a whole other thing.
It might be death metal, it might be
Zappa,
who knows.
Personally, I tend to write in retaliation of what I just recorded.
Right.
If that makes sense.
No, I get it. Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I listen to this shit so much, and I'm like, my God. Really?
Do something
what
else.
Was I
do
thinking?
Something else.
You know?
Right.
So I start writing in a different direction, and that, you know, sometimes produces good results, but whatever it does, it just, you know, and I pride myself on having a group of musicians that can actually, you know, translate my thoughts.
It's a bitch. It's hard. This guy's advanced. He's head and shoulders above a lot of good fucking guitar players around
but
town.
But that's not even quite correct because I'm self-taught, and you know, there's a lot of dudes that can play circles around me, but I just, you know, the shit that I write, I have different ideas for, and I don't even have to explain myself to these guys. They just pick it up naturally, and to me, that's more important than anything.
Oh, absolutely. You want to be with a group of guys that can just feed off each other without having to say, no,
right.
You got to fucking do this. Or,
Jerry and Spencer, you know, make it happen.
And now, it's like, here's the thing about Grand Inquisitor, is that Jerry, you know, well, okay, not Jerry. Jerry's the exception to the rule. But seriously, Marcus writes his music for Pfister. Spencer writes his music for Path of Might. I write my music for Grand Inquisitor. You know what I mean? So I'm the primary songwriter. You know, everybody's riffs go to their own bands, but you know, I'm the primary songwriter in Grand Inquisitor. And I just, you know, I appreciate
these dictates,
you know. So I mean, the end result is always going to sound like what I've written. You know what I mean?
Right. We're just translating what Graham is thinking of.
However, that's why I'm thinking about getting rid of the Grand Inquisitor name, getting rid of all that entirely, and just starting this anew. So everybody is, you know, feels
this is
like
just,
they're equal.
Right, everybody's
this is just
involved,
kind of the
right.
Vessel. This is the vessel for the new kind of crazy shit we're kind of coming up with.
Right.
Yeah.
We almost don't even know if we want to call it Grand Inquisitor, like Graham said. Like, it could be something new.
Yeah.
We don't know. This mortal coil we shuffle along might be, you know, just a jumping off point to something entirely different.
Oh, absolutely.
Because what we do now is so, has such a broad spectrum. Like we're throwing boundaries out the
fucking
window.
Is a year old.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lineup old, so it feels like it's a lifetime old.
We're gonna we're shedding all that, and it's gonna be, we're trying to like do something that is nothing like what we already do now.
Right.
It's gonna be like pretty, like I don't know. I feel like what we have coming up is more
disgusting.
It's more disgusting. It's more like uncomfortable. It's very like spastic and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So
I can't wait. I can't wait to see what you got coming up. I mean,
John McLaughlin.
I'm impressed. So,
like,
you know,
so it sounds like John McLaughlin getting the shit beat out of him.
Yeah,
it sounds like Trio of Doom, but like you can hear them arguing on stage. Like you can hear Jaco Pastorius like punching his face and yelling at someone. Like there's a lot of like fury in the new stuff that there's fury in everything that Grand Inquisitor has ever done. But what we do now is more rock and roll than anything.
But however, I'd like to say that there's no fury behind the scenes. We all get along.
No, exactly. It's, yeah.
No, there's awesome. A reason why we're together and doing our thing, and it's completely different from everybody else in St. Louis. It's because we really are good friends and we get along with each other fantastic.
There's no push or pull in any kind of weird direction at all.
Right.
We help each other grow. We help each other like get through
and
everything.
We respect each other's bands to where if anybody brings in something that sounds too much like their own band, you know what I mean?
Right. Oh,
it's
absolutely.
It's easy to kind of find that. It's easy to kind of filter that stuff out.
Right. Yes, yes. No, you guys played a tight fucking set.
Thanks,
you know,
man.
We came in halfway through because we were sitting over here. I'm like, fuck, we need to get over there.
We haven't played together in a month.
Oh, it was excellent. It was killer.
We did it like a dust off of it like about 2 p.m. today, but we haven't played together in maybe over a month and a half.
Oh, wow.
Because my other band went on tour for 2.5 weeks in the beginning of October. I don't think we played as a full band since the beginning of October.
Oh, shit.
Maybe 2 months.
Well, yeah.
We got together without Jerry maybe like 3 weeks ago to work out some new riffs. And we taught him to him.
Well, no, last week we got together without Jerry.
That's impressive that if you guys haven't played together like as a full band, because I was in a band for years, just local shit, and if we would have done that, oh, it would have been a fucking train wreck.
I mean, we're all playing, I play guitar like 2 or 3 hours a day,
right.
Fucking around between my house and any band practice. Graham gets up and plays guitar every fucking morning. Spencer has a guitar at his house he plays. Jerry is always tinkering with something with his bass. He's in a black metal band called Zamora.
Oh,
so
cool.
He has a whole other paradigm of music that is like far based on what we're doing now to keep his fucking mind occupied.
Yeah.
So I mean, we're all coming from very different backgrounds, like that's occupying the other, like, you know, fucking creative portion of our brains.
Yeah.
And it's fucking disgusting, man. It's coming out. It's not like too terribly like brain melting.
Right.
I mean, it's no Pantera, which is what I'm hearing in the background right now. But imagine a Pantera video the same way that this kind of goes around in a circle.
Right.
But it's like a Hieronymus Bosch painting.
Right.
And like there's a fucking like pig with like a rat's face playing like a 19 string guitar, singing the lyrics. It's fucked up. It's like a Portal album meets a Hieronymus Bosch painting.
There you go.
Imagine. The new Grand Inquisitor is going to sound like Despel Omega with Greg Allman sitting in on guitar. It's going to sound like Reverend Bizarre meets Captain Beefheart.
There you go.
Crowless and Chains.
Yeah. Wow. Dude, you just fucked me up, dude. That was awesome. So yeah, that's the vision we have. I don't know, man.
No, that's awesome, man.
We're drunk and shit now, but I mean it's St. Louis is really the best fucking town to play music in the world.
St. Louis is what's up.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much for sitting down with us. It's fucking awesome.
It's a pleasure, man. Thanks for having us.
Take it easy, fellas.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Grandinquisitor.bandcamp.com.
Awesome.
Peep the old shit because it ain't going to be there much longer. And then once we get this new record out on Encapsulated Records next year, next winter, going to do a CD to start out with and then maybe a tape. And then we'll fucking
be present in the scene.
Awesome. We've
got a tour in February. We'll do a release in the spring or early summer next year, and then
Okay. Quite
a more extensive U.S. tour in the fall next year.
Awesome.
So yeah, man. Thanks for having us, guys.
Man, thank you, man. You're awesome.
All right.
Thank you.
Grand Inquisitor playing the song Homunculus Blues. They're out of St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at grandinquisitor.bandcamp.com.
Right on. Go there. Buy their music. Buy all these bands' music, goddammit. What are you thinking? What's wrong with you? Come here and just listen to it. Go fucking buy their stuff.
Fuck yeah. No, you need some new shit.
Yeah, you need the new stuff. Well, I mean, why do you think we're doing this? That's so I can find new bands too. I got bored with everything I was listening to. Now I'm coming across all this stuff, and it's fucking awesome. This next band, these guys were kind of from all over, well, not really all over, Northern Illinois. But I think they said their singer is from LA, I believe, if I remember correctly. So they're more record. I don't know if this was their first live. I don't know. It's all in the interview. I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah.
They were super cool, very professional. Everybody was very professional, you know. But it was a good interview. It was Hoffenskold. Am I pronouncing that right? I'm sure I'm not the German. I'm not good at that. I apologize if I'm butchering your guys' name. Which was kind of funny because when I was talking about the show, my ears were fucking blown. Usually I can go all night towards the end of a show before my hearing starts getting fucked up. Because I've got hearing loss in my left ear. So usually when after a certain time, it's just like with loud music, it just, ugh. And I didn't bring earplugs. Yeah. And for some reason, like they came over and talked to us like pretty much in the beginning. And we were setting up a time for them to come back over. And there was nobody even playing. And yeah. I couldn't, my ears were shot. Because you said, like, who is that? I said, I don't know. And I think it was just them pronouncing the name and everything. It just my hearing was shot, so I was just like, oh fuck, I felt terrible. But it was just, dude, it shows how old I'm getting.
Hey, there are some people there with earplugs and stuff.
No, I usually take earplugs. I shouldn't be ashamed of it, but I forgot them, and I forgot them, and I was just kind of like, ah, it'll be fine. I was just like, it's not fine.
You know what though? It bugs us. You know, while we're in there, but afterwards, I don't feel anything afterwards. Like, there's no ringing.
Oh,
like, there used to be. I think my ears are just like, whatever. They're just, I can't fuck them up anymore.
Oh, mine still ring for like a day
really?
Afterwards. Oh, yeah. When I go to bed that night, it's like someone's just, there's just a constant ring.
It's either that or they constantly do ring and I just don't know it.
Right.
Either way, I think my, it's beyond hope for me.
Yeah. It was, yeah, I need to start bringing fucking earplugs because it was just ridiculous. After two bands, maybe, I think we had saw at that point, and I was like, I can't hear shit anymore. Yeah. It's like everything just sounded like jumble fucked, and it's like, that's not too normal for me.
And you're drunk.
I don't think that had anything to do with it.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
You were.
All right, here's the interview.
All right, introduce yourself, guys. My name's Colin. I'm a guitarist in Hoffenskold.
My name's Sean. I'm also a guitarist in Hoffenskold.
Awesome.
How are you?
I'm Steve. This is Travis. How are you guys doing?
Just fine.
Just fine. Great.
Amazing after tonight. This has been a killer show.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Terranaut just leveled St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think they're the loudest band so far.
Absolutely. What time do you guys go on?
We played at 7.
Oh, shit. Are you serious?
Yeah.
God damn it. We missed it.
That's the problem. We can't get everyone.
I know. It fucking sucks.
Yeah. Stuff happens. We do have demos on the other side, though.
There you go. Awesome. We'll be over there. Promote yourself, guys. What's up?
Well, we got together. It was probably back between summer and autumn of this past year.
To be the full story behind the band was that it was a project of mine a couple of years ago with almost a completely different lineup besides our bass player, and it just died. Yeah, we wrote some songs, but it just died in the water, kind of. And I got to thinking, like, you know, it's a shame these songs never got recorded, and they're lacking things, and I want to get a real lineup for you. And I've known Sean for a while. He's he plays bass in the band I used to play bass in, and we're good friends. And I was like, hey, fuck, man, do you want to play guitar in this? And he made the songs we had written like 10 times better, and just adding a couple guitar parts, and we found a singer actually. I studied it back in 2012 back in Japan.
Oh, wow.
And I went to Abigail, the black metal band's show.
Oh, okay.
And there was a bunch of American dudes there, and I was like, hey, you guys aren't Japanese. Let's talk. And it turns out I met this one dude, Richard, and he was the singer. They were all in this black metal band in Japan, all like Navy dudes and like American dudes there.
Right on.
And he was in the Navy, got out of the Navy, moved back to California, and I was putting this project together, and I got Sean. We got our drummer Kevin and our bass player and
Schmidt.
Yeah, Schmidt. Michael Schmidt. And
Schmidt.
We're thinking about a vocalist, and I was like, well, you know, we're kind of just thinking about just the studio aspect of the time, you know. And we're like, Richard is into the same things we are, and there's a thing I believe in, like getting somebody who is on the same page as you, like
right on,
yeah. You know, artistically and stuff, because you're making art and you shouldn't compromise on that,
absolutely.
Regardless if you can play live shows or not. So I was like, hey, you want to do these vocals for us? And off there, we recorded a demo, and here we are now.
Awesome, man. So where are you guys out of? Where are you based out of?
Well,
Central Illinois.
Central Illinois?
Okay. Central Illinois / California /...
Everywhere?
various places in Illinois and California.
We're from America.
There you go. Hey, there you go. That's fucking awesome. So do you guys tour at all, or do you guys...
This is our first show.
Yes. Is it your first show? Oh, yeah. Shit.
First time we played live.
Awesome. Fuck. I'm pissed off that I missed it. God damn it.
Bullshit.
Stuff happens. It is.
Well, I was saying earlier, I was like, this sucks that, you know, recording stuff, because we can't watch everyone
right
when we do this.
Right.
Like right now, we're missing someone, you know? Right,
exactly. But I imagine you guys are going to be playing a lot more.
We're going to try to. Ideally, you know, we're going to try to pick our spots, you know, play some good shows here, play some good shows there.
Right.
But the focus is the studio work and making sure we have good recordings and
writing
good music. That's what black metal really comes down to me, is like live shows are great and stuff, but it's an afterthought to a good, like an amazing black metal recording.
Right.
Yeah.
You have so many projects that will never perform live that are like the best black metal projects in the world.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, that's what everybody's gonna listen to. I mean, how often do you hear the band you like live?
Case in point, Dark Throne.
There you go.
Never performed after their death metal days.
Right.
Yeah.
And we do have about 2/3 of the full length written now, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Sometime within the next year, it'll be coming across the airwaves here, there, and everywhere. So.
That's awesome.
Keep your ear to the ground.
So do you guys like email each other all the, like when you're recording? Are you out in California then? Or?
No. I'm up in northwestern Illinois. I live.
Okay.
I actually work in Iowa. That's how close I am to Iowa. Do you know where the Quad Cities are?
No.
I live up by there.
Okay.
He's in the middle of a cornfield.
Him and my drummer are from Peoria, and our bass player is originally from Peoria, but he lives in Chicago now.
Okay.
And our singer lives in L.A., so.
Oh, shit.
How'd that work out? Or how that happened? Having someone in the band so far away?
Like I said, I met this guy when I was in Japan, and it just, like, he was the right person for this project, and it just needed to happen that way, and he's into the same music we are, the same black metal bands, and wants the same vibe as we do.
It worked out because he's a fucking monster on vocals, and he hits multiple dimensions. You know, he goes the high screechy stuff to the gutturals to the barbaric yells, and
perfect.
It all goes together. You know, we've got like various backgrounds and influences here. You know, like Schmidt. You know. When he was younger, he listened to pretty much all death black metal. Now he's into mostly classic rock, Thin Lizzy
Doom.
Doom.
But three-quarters of this band is in a doom metal band, too. Epic
really?
Doom, like Candlemass Worship and stuff.
Oh, cool.
Me and Sean both come from a power metal background, too.
Yeah.
So you guys got all sorts of elements that you can feed off of.
And I'm bass player number 4 from Peoria black thrash band Angel Lust.
Okay, cool.
He was bass player number 1. It's like Spinal Tap, basically.
Right.
But with our singer, how it worked out was I was lucky. I'm lucky enough to be in the city. I live in a city of 4,000 people, but there's a really awesome professional recording studio there, who's my friend owns and operates, and we're able to record our instrumentals there, and our singer was able to record remotely in California at a studio once we sent him our tracks, and it all worked out great, and our engineer was great. He was really able to work with us. We recorded everything live and in a studio.
That's awesome, man.
Yes.
I mean, shit, it's the way it works today, you know. The internet,
much.
I mean, you don't have to be living, you know, all in the same area. We actually played a band on an earlier podcast. They say they're from Greece, but I think one or two of them are from Greece, another guy's from Australia, but that's how they do it. They email the tracks, they put the album together, and boom, and they're a black metal band.
Yeah.
And they,
what band?
After Death Alone is the name of them. Oh, just a underground.
I mean, I'm really into Greek black metal, so
yeah,
I might have to check them out.
The scene there is amazing. It always has been. You know,
heavy metal in general in Greece is out of this world.
Oh, I believe it. I know Europe. It's like crazy. You know, the Greek guys are maniacs. Really?
Yeah. From traditional heavy metal, doom to black metal, they're fucking maniacs.
That's awesome. So you guys have any other upcoming shows or anything?
Nope.
Not at this time. We're more or less just like putting all our efforts into the full length at this point.
Doing the full length.
Yeah.
Yep.
What are you guys shooting for that to come out later this year?
Sometime in 2018.
Sometime.
Yep. Hopefully, yeah.
Like I said, we've probably got about 2/3 of it written and a little more in the pipe. But
yeah,
you know. When we write, we try to go for a focus of each song standing on its own, you know,
right.
Where when you pick a random track on the album, that song stands out, you know. It's not like, okay, what song am I hearing?
Right.
And you got to listen to it for a while to know, and I feel a lot of bands in all genres fall into that trap.
It just all kind of melts together.
Yeah.
You're trying to get every song is just, you know it, boom, 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 right
exactly.
off the...
And there should never be a filler song on an album, in my opinion.
I agree with that.
You know, like, my first favorite band ever was Styx.
Okay.
You know, back in the old album-oriented rock days where bands sat down and wrote a full album.
Right.
And they put everything into every song. They didn't just think about the single.
With our situation of recording and stuff, it makes sense that we would throw out everything that doesn't work, you know? Like,
oh, absolutely.
It wouldn't just be a filler song because we have the time.
Right.
You know, there's no time limit on this. We're not on a budget. We're not on a time limit. We're recording in his basement now. We get beefed up our own recording setup, and we have no limits to it, so why would we put out mediocre material when
Absolutely.
We could come up with better material?
I feel that way with a lot of albums these days. It's like, it seems like it's a rarity for me to hear something where I can listen to it from start to finish
right.
and be completely satisfied. I don't have to skip. Like, yeah, fuck that song, you know. So that's awesome you guys are focused on that and want to do that, because it doesn't feel like a lot of people do that anymore.
Yeah, like the stuff that goes into the folder of misfit riffs, it can stay there.
Right.
Like, you know, it's Island of Misfit Toys, whatnot, but yeah, like, if you write that riff that's on the cusp of, like, should I use this in a song, shouldn't I... Like, if
right.
you're not sure, then just toss it.
Just toss it.
Yeah.
Right.
Come up with something better. Play guitar for 2 hours in your basement until you come up with something. I mean,
right.
Like, it's not hard. Just rip. Throw on an album you like for a couple hours, take a couple shots of whiskey, then plug your guitar back in and rip some more.
There you go. Man, thank you guys for sitting down with us, man.
Yeah, no problem.
You guys, plug your sites, or any social media or anything you guys are on? Or
We got a Bandcamp, we got a Facebook, Bandcamp is our main, you can order our CD on there. You can order, also you can order our album on, for the people in Asia, Zero Dimensional Records in Japan. We
awesome.
Stumbled into a small run of our demo on this record label. Kind of a weird situation there, but it worked out in our favor. We're gonna trade with this dude over in Japan, and it wasn't gonna work out. It was gonna be way too much to ship our demos out there.
Right.
And we just threw at him like, "Hey, do you want to do a run of this?" Just we didn't think it was gonna work out, and then he's like, "Oh yeah, I'll do that. Can I put my label on it, and can I charge what I want?" I was like, "Yeah,
whatever.
Go ahead, Doug."
Absolutely.
It's three songs, like.
Yeah, do whatever.
I don't really care. I don't really care to make money off it. I just want people to hear it.
Yeah.
Right.
If I can have international distribution on my first release with a band, I consider that a win. So.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome, man. Well, thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey. Cheers.
Cheers, man.
We'll be right back. shine the black light of death beyond the stars. Expunge all that is to a doomed oblivion. Dark void of doom, expand beyond time and space. May eternity be forgotten and conquered by hate.
That was Aura of Hatred by the band Hrafnskald. They are out of Illinois, and you can find them at hrafnskald.bandcamp.com.
Yes, go there. Buy that demo. It's like fucking $3. Don't be a fucking asshole. Go buy it. You know you like it. Shit. So we're going to play two more bands, and we're going to end this episode. But just the... next two bands, they were there. We didn't get a chance to sit down with them.
No.
Which I wish we would have.
There was no time.
No, there wasn't.
There wasn't.
There wasn't.
Because we weren't on our time. We were on the band's time.
We were on the club's time
at
that
exactly,
point. Yeah,
you know, so.
We did talk. Oh, fuck, I can't remember if he was a guitar player in this band that we're going to play next.
One of the guys.
Yeah, we were talking to him, and I told him to come over and sit down, and then we went over looking for him. And there was like a line of people talking to him.
Yeah.
Because you turn around and looked at me, you're like, man, this guy's so popular. He's like, we're never going to be able to get over and talk to him. So we had to abandon it because I think we had somebody else to do it.
Yeah, we had someone else.
We just wanted to set up a time with him, and then it just got all jumble fucked.
We did what we could.
Yeah, we tried it. They were super cool.
We'll run into him again and figure out something.
Terranaut. That's the name of the band. And they were from Chicago, and this is them, and they were killer. I wish we could have sat down and talked to them, but as always, next time.
That was Beneath the Water Lilies by the band Terranaut. They're out of Chicago, Illinois, and you can find them at terranautblackmetal.bandcamp.com.
Right on. Big thanks to the Endangered Wolf Center in Eureka, Missouri for having us out there at the Winter Wolf Benefit. And
super awesome.
It was super, super awesome. Yeah. Had a great fucking time. Thanks for everybody that was cool with us. It was awesome. We had a great time. Great show. We'll definitely be going to the next one. I mean, I don't know if they'll let us come back and record, but we'll be there.
I doubt they will.
You don't think they'll let us back? No, probably not.
Keep those guys away.
Yeah, it was a good time. Thank you very, very much.
And you can find the Endangered Wolf Center at endangeredwolfcenter.org.
Yes, check it out. It's a fucking cool place. So, Brendan?
Looks like the name of the band is Stonehaven. They're out of Kansas. You can find them at hpgd.bandcamp.com. I guess that's their record company's
Bandcamp page. Yeah, I couldn't find just a Bandcamp page for them, but that'll get your... Go to that, and they'll have you can find their album on there.
Yeah, scroll down. The name of the album's Concerning Old Strife and Man Banes, and the name of this song is Death Fetter.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye.